Nachdem er bei uns im Sender vor 5 auserwählten Fans ein ganz exklusives und intimes Live-Akustik-Konzert gegeben hat, durfte ich mit Energy-Star Dermot Kennedy sprechen. Über sein neues Album The Way to the Woods, das Anfang April rauskommt, über das Songschreiben insgesamt, sein Leben in der Öffentlichkeit und was er sonst so macht, was er für Hobbys hat, wie er runterkommt. All das hört ihr hier in der neuen Folge mit mir, Jale. Mir hat's unfassbar viel Spaß gemacht, mit ihm zu sprechen und ich hoffe, ihr habt genauso viel Spaß beim Zuhören. Jetzt viel Spaß.
Der Energy Star Talk. Eure Stars im Interview.
Welcome, welcome.
Thank you very much.
How are you feeling right now?
Feel good, yeah. Yeah. Feel all right. I feel like I've got an album coming out soon and I'm quite excited.
Yeah, let's talk about it a little bit. So I just got informed that the beginning of April will be your release date
exactly,
of The
yeah.
Weight of the Woods. And I was wondering, how does one choose which songs? Because I'm very sure you have got more laying around than just what you put
yes,
out there.
Yeah.
How do you choose the songs that finally make it to the album and how difficult can this be? Process B.
Yeah, it can be really hard. I've done both. I think sometimes you hear about artists who have like 100 songs and they make like a 12 song album. I haven't done that. It's interesting to me, like, to work really hard on a song and then it just never exists is a difficult feeling, I think. So for this album, if it's 14 tracks, there's probably like 20, 25 songs that we made. So it wasn't crazy. Album 2 was kind of like 70, 80 songs. And
wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, it's too many.
Yeah, it's too many.
It's crazy because it's just, yeah, it's like, I don't know. Songwriting to me is always this really special, sacred thing. And so the idea that it's just in the bin then is crazy. So with this one, we kind of wrote 20, 25. And that made it kind of like a healthy process where you can be like, okay, it's difficult, but maybe this one doesn't get to be on there. And maybe this one has to be there. So yeah, not a fun process. And there's definitely songs that you leave off and then 2 months later, you're like, oh man, I love that song. So it's tricky, but you just try your best.
Do you decide it for yourself or do you like get help from your support system?
I listen to people, but it's my call really in the end. Yeah, yeah, it's always my call. I feel quite lucky. I think the way my career is kind of set up, I get to decide, which is nice.
Speaking of letting people listen or give their opinion, you just had a very intimate kind of situation where people just listened to you perform live in a very small room.
Tiny.
Tiny, that's very true. How does it feel to show like the first, I don't know, results of any song, any recording to friends and family? Are you more nervous showing that to people you know than to like the world?
Yeah, yeah. I don't show people. I don't show anybody. Yeah, yeah, I don't play it for anybody. No, nothing. I don't, because if they... I'm quite sort of... What's the word? I can be quite cynical. So if they tell me it's good, in my head I'm like, oh, you're just being nice to me. And then if they say it's bad, that's really bad. And
So their opinion matters.
Oh, massively, yeah.
Well, it would be the person... You're going on tour soon, so that's what we're also going to be talking about.
Yes.
But what would be the person you would be most nervous about seeing in the audience? Is there someone in your life where like, okay, if this... For me, it's my dad. If he was here, I wouldn't probably not be able to talk.
Oh,
and
I
I'm a very talkative person.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
when
yeah.
he arrives, it's like, oh, don't see me work.
Really? Yeah, yeah. I was probably like that at the start. But I mean, like, since I was 16, my dad's been the one that's been there and my mom as well. So it's like, I'm comfy with them now. Oh, I don't know. I'll always, though, do you know what gets me is other musicians. If there's other musicians that come to a show, that stresses me out.
Gotcha.
Not stressing me out, but I just can't stop thinking about them. And I think, like, would they like this bit and would they like this thing I did? So I do, yeah, I fixate on people, yeah.
Yeah, that's a little bit more pressure because they're in the industry and
exactly.
they have a different ear.
Totally.
They can't just hear you like normal people.
Exactly, and, yeah.
Yeah. There's so much I want to talk about, but let's dive into your tour and album release first, and then I have a few more, like, I would say general questions.
Gotcha.
Okay, so The Weight of the Woods Funeral, I was just, like, let's start with the first release that we also play here frequently.
Nice one.
You talk about, it's a very vulnerable song. You make yourself very vulnerable, but in a very strong way. I feel like your voice and the entire, not like, yeah, like the instrumental support is very loud for me, like very powerful,
yes,
present.
Yeah, yeah.
But then you have a line where you really say, if it seems like I'm strong, it's just a show. And I'm like, I think it's very strong to publish these feelings that we all resonate with, obviously, or we've all felt at some point or another. how do you, and I was wondering, like, how do you combine strength and vulnerability, or maybe they're the same thing to you? How do you combine them in your life and also in your music? And what was your vision? Did you want to make a strong song that makes people feel empowered because it's empowered to, you know, say goodbye to heartache? It's
totally
empowering.
Yeah, yeah.
Or did you want to say, hey, guys, I'm opening up. I'm putting my heart on a sleeve for you. What was your mission?
I think empowering is a good word for that song. I think, you know, what's interesting for me sometimes is when you sing a certain song, you want to be able to capture the feeling. And with Funeral, it was really easy because it just feels a certain way. It kind of, to sing it and make it feel triumphant and sort of, yeah, just like a victory felt quite easy. It was easy to access that emotion. And then, yeah, If I Seem Strong, it's just a show. I feel like that a lot in music and in life. I think if I'm in a position where people get hope for my music, sometimes maybe if they feel vulnerable, like I feel the exact same way sometimes. I've got times where I can feel super vulnerable inside and outside of music. So yeah, I feel like that's why I think this album is kind of important for me and feels like the right thing to be making at this point. Because I feel like a lot of my career, I probably wouldn't have written that lyric, you know? I wouldn't be comfortable with being that vulnerable and saying things like that. So yeah, I think, I don't know, in terms of the music, I feel like I don't have a choice. I have to say whatever I feel, you know? I can't hide those feelings. But in life, I think we all pretend, don't we? Just to make it seem okay, yeah.
Yeah. And if you could, like, I know it's hard, even though you are working with lyrics, but if you could verbalize the feeling you would want a person to feel when they're listening to Funeral, could you say how you would want them, like, in your ideal mind, to feel?
I would just like them to look ahead instead of looking backwards. I would like them to, yeah, just to, like, I mean, not to, like, be corny and reference my own lyrics, but to, like, bury their troubles, you know? I think that's just an important thing to do. I think as somebody who writes songs, I spend an awful lot of time in my memories and thinking about the past and reliving things, and it's okay because I get songs from it, but at the same time, I need to be better at just being in the present moment. And so I would love for whoever listens to it to get hope from it, to feel empowered, like you said, and to be able to just move forward instead of worrying about what's happened. Yeah.
That's very beautiful. You just said you're revisiting places or maybe emotions, and you have this one line in your song as well that says, not even poetry can fix this.
Mm-hmm.
And that triggered the biggest question I had is, does poetry really ever fix anything? Because I feel like sometimes when you, like you just said, you're forced to relive certain emotions or certain sceneries to create art from it. You can't just go blank, you know, mm-hmm. That's where your inspiration kind of grows from. Is that, okay, that's like, do you think it makes it harder to deal with emotions to sing about them and like put them into art because you're reliving them constantly? You're exposed to them more? Because I feel like other people can just, you know, put them away, focusing on work, focusing on whatever, where they don't have to talk about emotions. But you work with your emotions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I
get you.
Do you feel like it makes it even harder or bigger?
No, I think it makes it easier usually. I feel very kind of like clean in that sense, you know what I mean? Because I'm constantly working through it. Like you said, people can put them away, but often, you know, that's not a good thing. And so so for me, yeah, I know what you mean. Like there's certain nights I don't want to think about certain things and I don't want to relive certain memories, but it's always a powerful thing. And I think the type of music I make, I think sometimes songwriters joke about like, oh, this is a sad song and this next one is a sad song and da da da. But for me, it's like, yeah, they're sad sometimes, but they're ultimately quite hopeful, I think. And so I always come away from it in a better place, I think, you know?
Yeah.
A song has never kind of kicked me down, if that makes sense. And at least my own music. And then, so yeah, no, I think it's a good thing to get to work through it all the time. But yeah, there is definitely nights where I'm kind of like, oh no, not this one. And I have to think about that. And yeah.
No. Well, that's beautiful to hear because I always wondered that because, yeah. And you just said it. It's empowering in the end. That's what I get from Funeral. Mm-hmm. You want to lift people up. Is the whole album going to be, I mean, you just already answered the question in the Q&A that the weight of the woods, it has a lot to do with where you come from and what you've experienced also in your childhood or growing up, like being exposed to so much nature. Is the whole album going to be having an uplifting tone?
Not necessarily. There's certain songs, I feel like there's certain songs that aren't like, that just, they don't necessarily have that like resolution where it feels like a good thing. There's certain, I think, you know, there's certain songs where it ends and it might feel heavy, but usually the next song or two songs from then, it's kind of resolved, and you're never too far away from hope within the album, I would say. But there's definitely moments where it feels quite sad. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Is nature an anchor for sadness for you? Do you go there to process things?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. There's so much, I think, in terms of like where I end up mentally and emotionally as a person, I think there's so much I take for granted. You know, like I'd be in the forest every day. I get to sing every day. I get to write all the time. Like there's so many things that help me get rid of bad feelings. And so it's just, I don't know what I'd be like without them. Yeah.
That's beautiful. Mm. So you would prefer like a hiking trip over a beach holiday?
Is definitely. That definitely.
You're a winter person? Or
100%.
Like, yeah?
Oh yeah. Like it's funny because I think, yeah, like a lot of people have trouble with the Irish weather, and it's, I think it's rained every single day for the last like few months, and but I'm okay with it. I think it's all right, yeah.
If there is any other place you'd have to choose to live, what would you choose?
If I had to, sometimes I think about New York, because where I grew up is just middle of nowhere. It's so quiet, and New York is obviously the complete opposite. And so I think it kind of, I think, and obviously there's a strong kind of Irish connection there. And so, yeah, I feel like I could go there for like a couple months and then run home. Mm. Yeah.
Interesting. What I also find interesting is, as an artist, you are in the studio, you're in like creative, or that's how I imagine it. A creative process always requires you to isolate to some degree, to be with yourself, to be exposed to the process of making music. How do you kind of jiggle or combine this whole exposure that you get from your success with this sort of more introverted part of your life and yourself?
I think I've only done it now, really, to be honest. I think like, because I think all my life I've been somebody who is very introverted naturally. But yeah, like you said, at the same time, you have to do this incredibly extrovert thing. And like that's kind of confusing to me. And it took me a long time. And I think it's finally, I've gotten back to the point now with this album where I realized that the music is enough and that's all anyone wants from me. You know, like I don't have to pretend, or I don't have to try to be anything. All people want from me is to kind of make the best music I can, and that's enough. And at least I'm at a point where that's enough for me. So even no matter how it plays out, I'm kind of happy. Yeah.
Yeah. And it plays out well. I mean,
I hope so,
you're going on tour. You have a lot, you have a growing fan base. And what I think is even more important than the size of the fan base is the way they're responding. I mean, just now we had tears, we had people really being touched, and I love that. And you have a long way coming. You've done street music. You've been to uni.
Yeah.
So you have more expertise than other artists, I would say. But how, I was curious to know what you would call the better teacher, like being exposed to people, like doing street music is the most direct way to get people's reaction to what you do. Or would you say like, you know, deep diving in a nerdy kind of mode to music knowledge is the better teacher? What do you think?
I would say definitely playing in the street. I would say that's a better musical, for what I do now anyway, is a better musical education than the musical education I have. You know, I would say so. It's like, it's not even that there's people there the whole time, but just what it does is you completely lose all fear of playing to people, you know? Like even, yeah, because you just, you know, like there's days when you're younger, there's days you play all day and no one stops and no one gives you money and all that stuff. And you just kind of, so it's very easy in that moment to be like, maybe I'm not good. Maybe I shouldn't do this, da, da, da. So every single day you're kind of like, no, I think I am good. I'm going to do that again tomorrow. And it like, it builds resilience constantly. So like anyone who's trying to do music or have a career in music, I would say playing in the street is like the best thing you can do.
Wow, that's
really
powerful. Thank you for that. But what do you think helped you in your career from uni? Like what can you take with you that you learned there? Is there an aspect that you're very grateful for?
There is, yeah. I was around some incredible musicians, like really amazing lecturers and musicians and stuff. And but I don't know, truthfully, like I was like singing classical music. So I don't know if it sort of has anything to do with what I do now. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, maybe like just the being able to use your voice and going into right?
Yeah, yeah, probably. And like certain musical knowledge, like, but you know, we were like arranging parts for string quartets and stuff. Like I don't do that now, you know, because the people, I'm lucky enough now to be in a position, there's people that are much better at that than I am. So I would never be like, hang on, I did this in college, so I'll do it. Like never. Yeah.
How did your genre that you found, which is, I don't know, I feel like it has elements of rock, it has elements of like country even. Like,
I don't know.
Like any, like it's so diverse, which mm-hmm. I think is beautiful. How did this kind, how did you find your style? And are you willing to kind of change it in the future maybe? Because there's one song, it's called Lessons, of your recent EP, where you had a part where you were a little quicker.
Yeah.
And I thought, maybe this guy could, you know, rap. Mm-hmm. Is there a genre, like, first, how did you find your kind of style? And is there a genre that you would be open and curious to exploring that's completely like rap, the opposite or very contrary to what you do?
Yeah, I think like, that song was produced by Kenny Beats, who, it was just a privilege to have him like work on a song. So that was exciting. But for me, how did I find my sound? For me, it's interesting because I think I'm at my best when it's like me and it, like, I was never that good at the guitar, but I see it as a way for me to sing. I just, like, I'm not a crazy guitarist, but it's like a vehicle for me to get across whatever I'm trying to say. So, and piano's the same. And so I think sometimes I'm at my best when it's just me and a piano or me and a guitar and that's all. But at the same time, all the music I fell in love with when I was younger, it was always really dynamic. So that person could be just acoustic or these huge arrangements with like 100 violins and cellos and everything. Like I want all that. So I do want moments that feel huge as well. So it kind of, I think that kind of puts me in a place where I guess I touch on multiple genres where it's like, I guess you could say it's like folk sometimes, but then at the same time, like you said, it can, I don't even know. Is it like alternative sometimes? I really don't know. And yeah. And then in terms of like to do something I haven't done before, I would love honestly to have a record that's just live performances, not from shows, just like literally write a song, sit down, record it, and that's it, and do 12 of them. I would like that. I think we're in a time, hopefully, I think my album kind of reflects that. I think people enjoy imperfection and kind of enjoy those, you know, like sometimes you can sing a song like 200 times just because you missed this tiny, and it's just, I don't know, it doesn't help. I don't think it gets better with time. So I think if something feels imperfect but powerful, that's better than polished and sort of flimsy.
That's very, very true. I feel like we notice this with our work as well. When we record, when we pre-produce and we're not live, being able to listen to it over and over is the most horrible thing because you'll always find something that you're not 100% confident with. Mm-hmm. So this is very powerful. And then, so genre-wise, you're kind of open. You kind of want to have like a more less produced and raw sound, maybe. Yes. In terms of features, you've worked with Medusa, and how was that?
That makes sense because it's just so far from what I do.
Exactly.
And also
that's
it's their song.
How was that experience?
I just got sent the song and I was driving around this mountain in Ireland and just straight away, like thinking about like raw and produced, whatever, all that aside, it's just a really well-written song. So as soon as I heard it, I was just like, easy, I'm definitely going to do that. And not easy, but easy decision. And So, but like I said, it was like something like that that's so far out of my lane. Clearly, I'm just going to go do that and then come back. So it's like that was a no-brainer. Yeah, definitely. That was fun.
What would your dream feature be? Who would you love to work with?
I don't know. Probably a rapper. Like probably my favorite rapper is J. Cole. So probably him. That'd be nice. But
that'd be really cool.
Yeah, it'd be nice at some point.
Can we expect any features on the upcoming album?
No, because if I were to do that at all, I would love like 5 or 6 of my favorite artists. And so if that's not happening, I'd rather have nobody, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah. It's a little bit of black and white, but I get it. Okay, speaking of the upcoming album, you're going to also go on tour. You're going to be in a lot of cities in Germany, I saw.
Yeah.
Which one are you most excited for?
Well, sometimes even earlier I was doing an interview and someone said the show was on May 15th and I was like, oh, okay, cool. Like I kind of learn when someone else tells me. But which one am I most excited for? I don't know. The one in Berlin would be great. We really do have great shows here. I don't think I've ever played Oberhausen before, so maybe that'll be nice. I really don't know until I do them. Yeah. Do you know what I will say is that German crowds often, it's such a lovely thing to bring new music to because people pay such close attention and are so polite and listen to, as somebody who works so hard on lyrics and writes so much, like the writing is the most important thing to me. I just feel like it's really respected here. So I think that's really cool. Yeah.
Yeah, that's nice to hear. Generally, going on tour, how do you kind of prepare yourself to be in a constant mode of adrenaline? Because you're just constantly pouring out so many hormones. And I feel like, you know, being on stage, it's just naturally what it does to your body. How do you prepare for that? And what helps you sort of before stage, the last moment before you go out there? Yeah. Is there any ritual you have, anything that helps you?
No, you know the way sometimes people kind of say they feel so nervous until they get on stage and then it all makes sense? For me, it's often the opposite. Like, I feel really relaxed and then sometimes I get out there and I'm like, oh no. Not in a bad way, but I'm just like, oh my God, this is crazy. So, I don't know. It's hard to prepare. I don't know if I'm able to prepare. You just kind of get into it and then get used to it. And but I think if there's one thing I'm good at, it's kind of staying in the middle. Like, if a show is bad, I'm lucky I haven't had many bad ones, but if I'm not happy with a show, I'll just be like, it's all right, like I get to do it again tomorrow. And if it's, but at the same time, if I do the best gig of my life, I'll kind of be like, yeah, grand, I'll do it again tomorrow. You know, like I always feel like I'm in the middle. I don't get way too high up and I don't get way too low down if it's bad. But it's a very unusual feeling to have people kind of
look up to you.
Well, just like shouting at you all night, and then you have to go to bed and sort of sleep on a bus while you're driving down the motorway. So it is. It's a crazy kind of lifestyle, but at the same time, I'm very reluctant to call it difficult. You know, it's just fun. It's the best. So yeah.
Yeah. You just said that you, on the rare occasions where you have a bad show, which I can't even imagine after just now. What would make a show bad for you, or what was a moment? Maybe not the worst moment, that's a bad question or a bland question, but maybe the moment that made you grow the most on stage, or even from your street music times, is there anything you recall where you're like, that was awkward and that was uncomfortable, but it helped me grow?
Yeah, I think, the way I was saying with the busking and playing in the street, you get to a point where nothing can embarrass you really, you know, like normally, like a bad show for me is when I just don't feel good vocally or whatever, or if I made mistakes or that type of thing. But then it's weird because you could meet a friend after the show and they'd be like, that was so good. So your perspective is really bad when you're on stage, in my opinion, or at least in my experience. I remember doing a festival, I think in Malaysia or something, and it was outdoor, and this huge, giant, like moth insect thing, like fully flew into my mouth, and I like ate it during the gig, and it's just like the craziest thing, and I made the maddest noise down the mic and all that. But like,
what?
Yeah, but you just
okay.
Like I feel like I can't be embarrassed, you know what I mean? It's
that's
fine.
Cool. Yeah. That's cool.
I don't know.
Like
I know it's embarrassing, but it's fine. It's okay. Yeah.
You just look past it because you know that oblivion is so omnipresent, because like you said, people just forget everything or don't even notice. It's just maybe the embarrassment.
They may not even notice, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's funny. You had just talked about it because I feel like when you're on tour and you are engaging and you have your new album and you have promo and all you talk about all day is music.
Yeah.
What makes you detach or what makes you come down? You mentioned you're a big soccer football fan. What would you like to talk about all day if it wasn't music?
Probably sports, yeah. Football. Like I love when I'm, because like you said, it's just music constantly and it's funny because when I'm on stage, it's so serious to me and it means the world to me. But outside of that, I feel like I don't take life too seriously. And so, yeah, if I can sort of get stuck into a chat about football, that kind of, I definitely relax. Or, yeah, like, you know what's nice for me is that, like, we play big venues all over the world, but I'm in this sweet spot where I can kind of walk around that city all day and I might bump into one or two people who know I'm playing a show and might know my music, but I'm never at that point where I can't leave the hotel, you know, and that
yet.
I definitely, I don't know if that ever happens, I'll probably tour a lot less, but yeah, I just, it makes me happy that I can experience the places I go to. Definitely. Yeah. Yeah.
Any favorite memories from touring?
Oh, I don't know. That's 8 years. That's like countless stuff. I remember, I don't know, it's small stuff. Like, do you know, again, I know I said seeing artists in the crowd is difficult, but I remember we played a show in London where the whole lineup had been decided by Mumford & Sons, and they asked me, and I was a fan for a long time before I had any kind of career. And so when they asked me, that was even a very cool moment for me. And then when I was playing the set, I kind of turned around at my guitar and Marcus Mumford was kind of watching us play. So stuff like that's very, I'll never forget things like that, you know, where you kind of realize it's working out and you're at a point where you're kind of playing shows with these people. It's crazy.
Yeah, everything coming together, it's like a little bit of a full circle moment probably.
Yeah, and it's nice, you know, because, you know, talking about advice for younger musicians, you spend an awful lot of time where you're the only person that believes in it. So when it does work out, you're kind of like, oh, cool, I wasn't crazy.
Yeah. What would you say to your younger self? If you were to be able to speak to Dermot from 12 years ago, what would you like
to do? I just say keep at it. Don't, you know, don't stop. It really is very simple. I think sometimes, like for me, I was lucky enough. I had a show in London and Dublin and they both sold like 200 tickets. And I swear, like, I feel like even now I'm still just building on that moment. And so to me, like, you know, you can talk about songs going viral and doing well and like your career going, having certain plans in place. But it's like, to me, it's very simple. You just go and play to people. And that's worked quite well for me so far. So I would just, I would literally, I know it's like overly simple, but I would, if I could speak to me 12 years ago, I'd just be like, this is exactly what it's meant to be. Just keep playing to people anytime you're allowed. Yeah.
Is there any song from your past, from your first album maybe, that you don't resonate with anymore and where you're like, oh, please do not talk to me about this? It was a, because I feel like it's always just a fragment of whoever you were at that time
evolved.
And I mean, I don't want to listen to anything I did 2 years ago. I really don't. Mm-hmm. How do you, because you were probably confronted with it more because it's just a song and you could just play it and it's, you know, vacuumed everywhere all over the internet. How, is there something where you were like, oh, any song that you remember, or maybe not even a song, maybe something you said where you were like, where you are like now, ugh, I don't resonate with anymore. I'm glad I grew.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Like, and then you're kind of dealing. Yeah. And music, music's a funny one because it's kind of like, oh, this song could, you know, take me to this place and could do that. And then I think I'm at a point now, third album, where I realize I don't, in the nicest way, I don't mean this in a mean way, but it's just like, I don't care what a song does so long as it makes me feel good. I'm okay with it. But yeah, there's a song called Giants from years ago. And I'm not saying I don't like it, but me in Ireland, if I don't play this song, a lot of people are very unhappy all the time. So I've got these big shows in the summer in Ireland. So I think maybe I'll have to do it. We'll see.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, you're at the point where your songs mean more to other people than yourself now.
I guess. Yeah.
That's funny. Okay. You said you, outside of your whole music career, you don't take yourself very seriously, which I think is nice. You love to talk about soccer or like football. I don't know. You call it football probably. What is one other thing? Are you passionate about movies? Do you like to go to the theater? Do you like to go to cinemas? Anything that you're excited for this year? Like, just what does like normal Dermot Joseph does in his...
Do you know what I think will be a big part of my life is gardening? Yeah. I think I have a, you know, because it's really like, in this job, it's really like all go, doing this all day. And then you play a show and it's all really crazy. And then when you get home, it's nothing, like just zero. And so you get to this point where you kind of get out of bed and you're like, what am I, do I even exist, you know? And so I think things like that, like gardening and stuff like that, really, really help. Because you're like, oh, the world is still here. And I can actually look at this thing grow and I can take care of this. Because music is funny, right? Like a song, yes, you create it and you can play it and it means a lot to people. And it's an extremely meaningful thing, but you can't hold it and you can't, like, you can't, I know you can watch it grow and the way it behaves, but you can't actually like show it to somebody. So I think things like that where you can like, I don't know, nature really helps me with that. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like gardening could be your catapult back into the real physical world.
Yeah.
When
I think
you're
so.
Alive.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah. Anything, do you have a lot of plants at home? How do you take care of them? I mean, you're touring a lot. Do you have people?
Pets? What do I do? Yeah, I have my dog. I just walk the dog every day. I think you're talking about like, how do you prepare for tour? I think it's almost more important to have discipline when you're not on tour, because otherwise you're just aimless. You got nothing. And so I'm very lucky. We got a nice community at home. Like my family is just up the road and I see them every day and it's all quite close. So yeah, again, there's a lot I take for granted.
That's beautiful. I feel like that also plays a huge role in staying who you are and not forgetting.
Because I think so. Yeah, and you think about like 12 years, if you think about it, it took me that long to get here. I could be like, oh man, I wish this happened 6 years ago. But also at the same time, I don't know if I think I'd be a different person, you know. Mm. So yeah.
Do you believe in everything? Not everything happens for a reason. I hate that phrase, but like, do you believe in being able to find a reasoning for anything happening?
Not even that, but I do like to believe that everything will end up the way it should. I do think so. There's a Ben Howard lyric from years ago where he says, "I will become what I deserve," and I like that. I think
I love Ben Howard. Yeah.
Yeah. And I like that. And to be honest, I think in music you almost have to hold on to that, because otherwise it can get a bit stressful. So yeah, it's nice to kind of just let go and trust that it'll all just fall the way it should. Yeah.
Where do you draw the line? Star signs? You're like nine.
Yeah, probably. Honestly, yeah, yeah. But even I would probably believe in that quite a bit. But then
you would believe in star signs?
A little bit, yeah.
You're a Sagittarius, right?
Yeah, but I would believe, like, if you think about it, sometimes I'm like sarcastic about all that stuff, and then I'm like, it's literally the stars. Like, how are we supposed to know? And so I do definitely believe in it. But then I remember I was in Canada, and there was a lady there who was like super into all that stuff, and she was kind of like, I need to know what time you were born at and all that to know what kind of moon, right? And I was like, oh no, I can't, I don't know that stuff. Yeah, so that's where I draw the line. I would say not at star signs, but just beyond it.
Beyond it, yeah. Well, the ascendant and like the Chinese sign and everything. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for taking the
good
time
chat.
I could go on. I have so many more questions. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I don't know how to put it into like a good smooth ending, which I feel like it's the hardest part, but I want to find this. So, okay, we're month 3 of 2026. What is one thing you would like yourself to look back to at the end of the year? Where would you, like spiritually, emotionally, where would you like to be? What do you want for yourself apart from all the music? Because obviously you have an album coming out. Obviously you're going on tour. That's major, but I feel like that's just your paperwork.
Totally,
you can
yeah.
document on paper.
Mm-hmm.
What's in here?
I think creatively, it's a good question. I think all through making this album, I've been quite good at like talking about like, oh, I only care. The music is the only thing. And now that I'm into promoting it and doing shows and all that type of stuff, I need to remember I was saying that the whole time and just not lose track and not get caught up in the game of it, because I can't talk like that through the whole process and just forget it once it's go time. You know, I need to keep that energy, because to be honest, it makes the shows better. It'll make album 4 better. It'll make me a better person. So I need to stay true to that. So if I can look back and say I did that, then I'd be happy.
Yeah. Nice. We're excited.
Super.
Thank
me
you
too.
So much for being here.
Nice one. Thank you.
Der Energy Star Talk. Einer von vielen Energy Original Podcasts. Noch mehr Infos findet ihr auf energy.de. Das Energy Stream Team. Immer die besten Hits für euren Geschmack. Checkt die Energy Webstreams. Zum Beispiel Energy Eurodance. Egal wo ihr seid, egal was ihr macht, das ist der richtige Soundtrack für euren Alltag. Checkt Energy Eurodance und alle weiteren Streams in der App und auf energy.de. Denn hört ihr Streams, hört ihr Energy. Hit Music Only.